All right. How are you guys this morning? Good. Are you glad to be here? Okay. Did you learn anything so far this morning, or did anybody learn anything? Or who all helped sing? Everybody helped sing? That's good. I think you already had a good start. Okay, I'm going to read a story in the Old Testament, and then I got a story in the New Testament too, and I want you to tell me what that story is. It's going to be a likeness from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and I want to see if you can figure out what that other story is going to be. Okay? In the Old Testament, this story here is called the Brazen Serpent. Anybody know what that's going to be about? What's that?
About when Elisha took the children of Israel out in the desert, and then there was the fiery serpent.
The fiery serpent?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yep, you must know about this story then. And I'm sure you've probably heard it too. This is called the Brazen Serpent. After many years, Israelites tried to enter the land of Canaan. They searched for a route through the country called Edom. Moses sent messengers in to the king of Edom saying, "Please let us pass through your country. We will not harm your land or your people. We will walk on the road, not turning to the right or to the left. We will not drink from the wells unless we pay for the water we use." But the king of Edom refused, so the Israelites had to go around Edom. While on this long detour, the people again found fault with Moses. They said, "Why have you brought us here? There is no water and no bread except for this vile manna that we are so tired of. We wish we were back in Egypt." The Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people. They were called fiery serpents because their bite caused hot, violent swelling and thirst. Many people died from the snake bites. Now the people saw the wickedness of the people, wickedness in speaking against Moses, for they were actually speaking against God. They confessed their sins. They confessed their sins and asked Moses to pray that the Lord would take away the snakes. Moses prayed for the people as he had done many times before. God heard Moses' prayer and said, "Make serpents and put it on a pole for where the people can see it. If those who are bitten look at the serpent on the pole, they will live." Moses obeyed God and made a brass serpent. Those who looked at it were healed. I got a picture here of what God told Moses to do. So imagine Moses had to make this brass serpent. I wonder how long it took him to make that. But he put it on a pole, and he told the people, Moses told the people that if you just look at it, you can be healed. Now, if you look real close, there are some serpents. There are some snakes that are crawling around here, and they're biting some of the people. And that's like, what was the serpent in the Old Testament? Anybody know what the serpent was? What was the serpent? What was that? The serpent was the devil. Remember? In the Garden of Eden? When the serpent come in that tree there and he told Adam, that said, "You can eat from that tree. That's not going to kill you." But Adam was not supposed to eat of that of that certain tree. He said, if you do, he said, you're surely going to die. So anyways, they sent serpents and they bit the people and the people got sick and hot. And they said, all you have to do is just look at it. Just look at that serpent and then you will be healed. See, here's a father that's holding one of his children up. Just look at it. Over here's another one. The woman here is pointing her child to the pole. Just look, and you can be healed. Now, I have another story in the New Testament. Does anybody know what that story is going to be? You know what it is? It's Jesus on the cross. So today we don't have the snake or the serpent to look to. We got something better to look to. Back then, it wasn't Jesus, it was the serpent. They said you could look to Jesus and you'd be healed. You can live. And today that if we fall into something that's evil and very sinful, and, you know, this little things, like we want to call it little things, but it doesn't matter how little the sin is, it still is. Is still as bad as a big sin. There's no difference between a little one and a big sin. So if we are like lying, cheating, stealing, or just being angry, doing something, just bad things to your brother and sister, and not obeying your parents, those are all just little things that we can overcome them. But we have one source that we can go to, and that's Jesus on the cross. I'm going to read that story. This is the picture that we found. And that's Jesus on the cross. That we can look to him when we have things that come up in our life. And we just look to Jesus. And he will take those things away from us. This is Jesus is crucified. Pilate did not know what to do. He did not want to condemn an innocent man. Besides, his own wife had sent him this message. Leave that righteous man alone. This morning I had suffered much pain in a dream because of him. But the angry mob kept roaring, crucify him, crucify him. Soon they all began to shout, set Barabbas free. These Jews did not really care about Barabbas, who was a convicted criminal. They knew that Pilate usually freed one prisoner during this time. They would free anyone else, even a murderer, rather than Jesus. He would free anybody else, but he didn't want to free Jesus. Nervously, Pilate washed his hands before the crowd. He said, I'm not responsible for this man's death. If he dies, says it's not going to be because of me. Yet he tried once more to save Jesus. He ordered his soldiers to whip Jesus severely. Remember how they whipped him on his back, and Jesus didn't fight back or anything. He just left him do it. They forced a crown of thorns on his head and dressed him in a purple robe and placed a stick in his right hand. Surely now the Jews would pity Jesus when they saw his bloody face and clothes. Pilate brought him before them and said, behold the man, just look at him. Look at the man. But the mob only became louder. Away with him, crucify him. At last Pilate gave up. He freed Barabbas and allowed them to take Jesus out of the city to a place called Golgotha. There he was nailed to a cross. Though Jesus was in agony, he did not hate his enemies. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. The two thieves were also crucified that day, one on either side of Jesus. One of them taunted, If you are Christ, save yourself and us also. But the other thief said, we deserve to die, but this man is innocent. Turning to Jesus, he pled, When you come to your kingdom, remember me. Immediately Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise this very day. At noon, the whole world was plunged into darkness. When I read that, I had to think of the eclipse. Do you all remember the eclipse? It wasn't totally dark, but it got dark. And this, when this happened here, when Jesus, when he said that, he said that the whole world plunged into darkness. Jesus kept on suffering for 3 more lonely hours. Just before he died, he gave a shout of victory. It is finished. His work on earth was done. Now he was free. He could free the whole world from the grip of sin and Satan. Suddenly, the earth shook, the rocks split apart. Many graves were opened, and the frightened centurions exclaimed, "Surely this was the Son of God." He said when he died on the cross, as he came, he did that so that he could set the world free from sin and Satan. So that's why we look to Jesus today. If we have things in our life, and including myself, that I have to look to Jesus. Every day, every night when I go to bed, I say, "Lord, forgive me for any of the bad things that I've done today." So that's why he came to save us from our sins. So if we fall into something that's bad, you know, like being disobedience or being, like I said, lying, stealing, or cheating, or if you fall into any of those things, just come to your parents and just say that you did something bad today and you want to, that you would ask for forgiveness. And so that's what we do when we fall into those little snares, those little traps, those fiery serpents that go around and they want to bite us, just like Satan does. Satan comes and he wants to grab you. He wants you to fall into bad things. So I hope you all learned something, and just pray that we can grow up and be godly children and a godly example for your little brothers and sisters. So that's all I'd have. So may the Lord bless each one of you. I was going to read a verse. I forgot about that. A verse in John 14. No, John 3, verse 14, 15, and 16. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Moses, he put that serpent on the pole, lifted it up so people could look at him. And now the Son of Man, it says, was lifted up also, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Anybody know what the next verse is? John 3:16. I think some of you probably do. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And that's what we all want. We all want that eternal life that would be with Jesus in glory. So, all right, you can go back to your seat.